Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 23 of season 12 of Move Around Minutes, the daily podcast, where we dig our way through the 1994 film The Shawshank Redemption, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Derek McDuff of the Underrated Podcast and the A Minute Deus Podcast. Welcome back, Derek.
Happy to be back.
So it's always nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah. So minute 23 begins with Brooks showing he has a hobby and ends with Andy listening in on a conversation. So we left things off yesterday with basically every first-time viewer believing that that Brooks is about to eat a worm and try to get into the Guinness Book of World Record. But
and as we discussed, a lot of interesting worm records.
Yes, that's true. I think we'll go with the gummy worms.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's the best way to do it.
I agreed with that.
Yeah. And Brooks, shows how he's taking care of this little bird named Jake that's in his sweater pocket. And he said that he found him over by the plate shop. And he continues today by saying, "I'm going to look after him until he's big enough to fly."
Mm-hmm.
Quite.
We talked about last time how that is very thematic for maybe the journey Andy is going to go on.
It is very possible. You never know.
We'll see.
Yeah. And, they give us another few seconds of Andy just looking at Brooks, not knowing how to respond, basically.
Mm-hmm. And then he's still taking him in.
That's right. And then he, looks down at his food and is, okay, I'm going to now eat my food instead of talking to this weird guy who's playing with birds.
Right.
Right.
He's still, as we said, he's very inquisitive. He's still getting all the facts for his new situation here.
Correct. Now, again, the fact that, Brooks also comes across as being very sincere here.
Yeah. He's not playing along with the game that all these other guys are either.
Correct. Correct. And I think it's good for us I like the way that they show us different characters with completely different personalities that are still able to make it through this type of this type of thing.
Right. Everyone has their own kind of coping mechanism.
That's right.
And Brooks is kind of he's become very institutionalized. This is his life. He, as we see later, has a tough time existing outside of it. But he is much more optimistic, much more hopeful, where these other guys are kind of like, okay, we've made survival, we just kind of made it a game. Like, we have to find something to give us a reason to keep going, and that's making this little competition between ourselves. And this minute does a really good job of introducing a lot of those supporting characters, getting some just a little bit of back and forth, including one in particular who we'll talk about in a second.
Yeah. So now James Whitmore, who plays the character of Brooks, how old do you think he was when they made this movie? Because his character, based on what we talked about yesterday, he said he came to the prison in 1905. So this is 1947. That means he's been there 42 years. Okay, and let's assume that he was at least 20, if not more. Okay, so he's at least in his mid-60s, if not more. But how old do you think James Whitmore is at the time that they're filming?
I know he was kind of like a classic actor of the stage and stuff like that going back in the day. And I'm gonna say he was 69.
73. Again, okay, 73 when the movie came out, so it's possible that he was 72 at the time, or whatever it is. Yeah. He looks a lot more frail than you would think someone who's 72 is nowadays. Let's put it that way. You know, I mean, that's one of the things
Right.
that
Yeah.
always
Yeah.
amazes me. You know, you're watching a movie and they're telling you that some guy's a certain age, and you're looking at them and you're like, there's no way that person is younger than me. You know.
Right, yeah. Like when I see George Costanza in the first couple seasons of Seinfeld, and I'm like, I am now older than he is, and I'm like, that is wild to me.
I'm trying to remember what movie it was. Some movie in the that came out in the 40s that someone like said he was 47, you know, and this guy just looked like he was in his 60s, if not later. You know, I'm like, oh my God, there's just no way.
Yeah.
You know, it's just very hard to believe,
Right,
you know,
yeah.
that type.
People just aged a lot quicker back
Apparently, apparently.
then.
They didn't
Yeah.
have all the wonderful things that we have now that keep us, you know, all the junk food that keep us young.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. No, nobody was wearing sunscreen back
Probably
then,
not.
probably.
Probably not. But yeah. So again, he's 72, 73 at the time. It is possible that Brooks is that age also.
And I mean, he was, and you know, we are with these characters for a few years, so you know, he does play
Yes.
a range of ages in the film, so you know, he probably got to be about seven. He was probably 73 at some point in
That's right.
the narrative of the
That's
film.
right. And then the shot changes, and we're back to you know, the four guys from the posse that are sitting and chewing their food. And again, it looks like Red's the only one who's using a utensil, but and then Jigger says, "Oh no, here he comes." And even Brooks looks over as they see that you know, they've left a space out at the table for Haywood. And Haywood shows up and he goes, "Morning, fellas. Fine morning, ain't it?"
Yeah, and we've obviously seen this character before briefly, you know, as everyone's coming in, but this is kind of really your introduction to him. He was the character I was alluding to earlier, where, you know, it's mostly, you know, a movie where there it's about, you know, Andy and Red and then, you know, the warden. And then there's a number of other, you know, B tier characters who have a lot to do, but, you know, are not really, you're not really following their story, right? And I think Haywood is probably the most important of the inmates when it comes to that, other than, like, you know, these people who are given a focus for a brief amount of time, like Brooks, or like, you know, Tommy later on. Haywood's there the entire time. You know, he's there from the beginning to the end with Andy. And I think he's such a fun, interesting character. I really like him. And we talked about the different ways these guys cope. He's kind of like a more fun, like, hey, joking around. It's kind of like he's like the class clown. Everyone's like, oh, here he comes. But they're actually, you know, they're because, like, oh, we got to pay him. But you can tell that he's a little bit of the life of the party. And I think a lot of that comes to William Sadler, who is a great character actor. He plays the president in some of those early MCU movies,
In Iron Man, I
and I
believe.
think
I
one
think in
of
Iron
his
Man.
he's in a yeah he's in Iron Man 3, and then he shows back up in, like, Agents of Shield and stuff. But he shows up in a lot of other King adaptations, like he's in The Mist and he's in The Green Mile. But for me, what I know him as is he is Death from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, and he shows up again in the third one. He's playing this essentially this parody of the kind of Death in the Seventh Seal. He's that styled in that same way. He ends up playing, instead of chess with Bill and Ted, he plays like all
Twister.
these
They
kind of like
played
other
Twister, I think,
like
didn't
games
they?
like checkers and stuff like that. And oh yeah, they do play Twister. I think they play a few things, I want to say. The Twister, I think, is, yeah, whatever. And he's just like, he keeps being like best of three, best of five, you know. It's a good bit, and he's really, really good in that. I'm a huge fan of his, so it was
Yeah.
not
Okay. I
nice
mean,
to see him in this movie.
he also appeared in season 5 where we did Die Hard 2. So, yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Anyway.
Yeah. Great character actor. He's a that
Yeah,
guy,
no,
but one of the
he's
best
definitely
that
great.
guys,
There's
you
no
know?
question about that. And I like him here because Haywood is a good choice of a name for him because he's not trying to belittle or anything like that, but he's a hayseed. You know, he's a hick.
He's
That's right.
a country
And we'll
boy,
find out
yeah.
later how much of a country boy he is. when he starts talking about Hank Williams, and when he talks about the Count of Dumb by the Count of Monte Crisco from Alexandria Dumbass.
Yes, it's one of the most
Yeah, it's a
memorable
great
lines
line.
in the whole movie for
No
me.
question about that.
Yeah, and then followed by, of course, by file that
In
prison
case
break,
of
file that under information
education.
or yeah,
Yeah.
education
But
line.
yeah, I like it. I mean, this isn't our first introduction to him, because we did see him last week. We saw his reactions. No, but I'm saying we saw his
Yes,
reaction
see him
when
briefly.
Badass was getting beaten the crap out of. And
Oh yeah, 'cause
no, he
he
eggs
does
him
egg
on,
him
and
on,
then
yeah.
you can see in his face that he sort of sort of regretting what he did.
Yeah. Which is, I think it's really good writing, it's really good direction that you have this character that has some depth. Even this small character who doesn't really need that depth, he feels like a real human. He feels like he has some real, humanity to him. And you see the same thing happen with him in this scene where he's kind of excited. He's very like, oh, cool, I just won, blah, blah, blah. And then, skipping ahead in the middle a little bit, but he has this reaction where he's like, how's my guy doing? And you find out what ultimately happened to him. And you see once again that regret creep in. Like he is like, okay, cool, I won, but he's not just this heartless monster that has been, broken down. He still cares about people, even if he, might not. Sh It takes him a second to get there because he's kind of a, just country boy here having a good time hooting and hollering, and he starts to realize, oh no, maybe that
Right.
was not the best thing that I did there.
It's true. We'll see how he's gonna react as things move along here. But yeah, he's extremely happy, and he sits down at the table, and everyone else is a little upset with him. And then he goes, "You know why it's a fine morning, don't you?" And he goes, and you see that everyone starts pulling out the cigarettes, and he rubs his hands together and goes, "Come on, set him down. I want them all lined up here." And we see that.
And I think he's probably the character that I would relate to the most, where it's, you win, like, you're like, when I would like beat my brothers or something in America, I'm like, okay, I won the bet. All right, guys, time to pay up. Vote some wagon a little bit. Good natured, but he's definitely enjoying. He's taking a little bit of a victory lap. I really love that Deacon shot where you see them lined up. They're all there, and it kind of just pans up to him, and he's just got this big smile. And this is really the first, like, we see a second of it right before this with Brooks, but like this is the first real joy that we're seeing here in the prison. It's not all doom and gloom. There are ways you can find that things can be good, even if they are
Right,
unfortunately
that's true.
quickly undercut.
And at this point, Red hands him over cigarettes, and then News hands him over cigarettes, and he's just lining them up right in front of him. He's doing a nice job of lining them all up, and he basically has a full pack and six. So he basically got 26 cigarettes out of this whole thing, and he says, "Just like I want them lined up here, just like a pretty little chorus line." And he goes, "Yeah, look at that." And he sniffs the cigarettes as he's doing that. He goes, "Look at that, oh Lord." And then we hear Floyd in the back go, "I can't stand this guy."
He's so good. I love it's so, he's such a just
That's right.
amazing
And then he
character.
looks
I
up and he
love
goes, "Yes, Richmond, Virginia." And Floyd goes, "Smell my ass." And then Snooze goes after he smells mine.
him.
Now, do you have any idea why he's saying Richmond, Virginia?
I think he's saying that that's where the cigarettes are from, is my interpretation. Like he's like, okay, like this is from Virginia Slims or whatever.
But they're Chesterfields.
So that was that might that I might be completely off. I don't know enough about cigarettes to tell you. I don't smoke. So I have no idea. That's just that was
Right.
what I just assumed it
Again,
was.
so
So.
Chesterfields are a blend of both Turkish and Virginian tobacco, which obviously there's the answer. the company their whole idea was is that they were blending Turkish and Virginia tobacco together, and the Drummond Tobacco Company of St. Louis, Missouri, in 1873 started making them making Turkish and Virginia tobacco, and then the American Tobacco Company acquired them in 1898. And they continued manufacturing Chesterfields till 1911.
And there you go. Once again, it tells you
That's
he's a
right.
country boy. He knows where these Virginia cigarettes are coming from, you know?
And they eventually the brand was acquired by Philip Morris in 1999. Now, the Chesterfields are known for the fact that they were the first cigarette that added an extra layer of wrapping to preserve moisture. And the advertising campaign that they used in 1926 for Chesterfield was "Blow Some My Way," which was trying to convince women to start smoking also. Well, come on,
The
it's
secondhand
1926. What do you
smoke,
expect?
just do it. Yeah, no,
Exactly.
I was so sad. That's very
That's right.
1920s. It's
And
just
in
like, hey, have some
1948,
secondhand smoke, ladies.
the advertisements they used were preserved, sorry, preferred by professional smokers. Again, if you want to be a professional smoker, you should be smoking Chesterfield. You know, that sort of thing. So yeah, yes, the answer is he knows that they're originally you know, they use Virginia tobacco, so therefore that's why he's gonna put it in there.
Yeah, he would know the Virginia tobacco,
Correct.
not the Turkish stuff so much.
I mean, there's a really long list of movies that deal with Chesterfields. You have Humphrey Bogart's "To Have and To Have Not," South Pacific, you know, the musical, Jean-Luc Godard's "Breathless." You have the 1974 adaptation of "The Great Gatsby," where Redford splits the last
Oh, yeah.
Chesterfield with Nick Carraway, who's played by Sam Waterston. In the Blues Brothers, they Jake and Jake is shown basically crumpling up an empty pack of Chesterfields. In what other movies? The Reservoir Dogs, Mr. Pink is smoking Chesterfields in order to calm down. In Tarantino's film True Romance in 1993, so basically, Dennis Hopper is smoking a Chesterfield right before he confronts the consigliere, played by Christopher Walken. Right, there's a great conversation between them. This.
Interesting that it wasn't a red apple
Very true.
cigarette like there are in so many Tarantino
Shawshank
movies.
is mentioned here, obviously. The Coen Brothers movie, "The Man Who Wasn't There," the main character is constantly smoking Chesterfields. And Grindhouse, another sort of Tarantino movie. So Kurt Russell takes a pack of Chesterfields out, and yeah, so that's the list that I found, which is pretty interesting.
Okay, all
Yes,
right.
in real life,
Prolific brand, it sounds like.
Oppenheimer was a chain smoker of Chesterfields, and there was an
Oh.
actor named Paul Douglas who was an advert who was in a lot of their advertisements, and he ended up dying young of a heart attack. So that
Oh well. Yeah.
yeah. Well, nowadays when you look back
Not
at it,
surprising.
so yeah. Yeah, Hayward's pretty happy
Yeah.
that he's gotten all these things.
He
And
is.
then he turns to Red and he goes, "Gee, Red, terrible shame about your horse coming in last after all. But I sure do love that winning horse of mine, though." And he's very happy with what he's got.
Yes. He's more happy about winning than about the cigarettes. Like, I feel like he doesn't even necessarily care that much about the cigarettes.
That's right.
It's the what they
And
represent that he
Floyd
is just
gives
beating
him
all
a few
these guys.
cigarettes also. This way he now has more cigarettes in front of him. Is 8 cigarettes plus the whole pack that Red ended up giving him. But yeah, he's quite happy about that. And then he turns to them and goes, "I believe I owe that boy a great big
Yes,
sloppy
yes.
kiss when I see him." And then Ray goes, "Why don't you give him some of your cigarettes instead?" And he goes, "Lucky fool." And then Haywood turns behind and screams to one of the other guys, and he goes, "Hey, Tyrell!" And Tyrell is played by an actor named Mac Miles, who also has a very small part in The Green Mile. And he goes, "You pulling from your duty this week?" He shakes his head, "Yes." He goes, "How's that horse of mine doing?" He goes, "Dead."
Yeah, very, very sobering moment. You know, as I say, we were on this high a second ago, and now, you know, you find out like this cause of his like jubilation, you know, is ultimately so a man is dead,
That's
you know,
correct.
and that is the harsh reality of Shawshank is that, you know, wh and it's something that happens with Andy like later on, you know, where he's found this like nice cushy out, you know, like it seems like he's able to work for the warden, you know, he's found a much more peaceful existence, but ultimately that kind of ends up biting him in the ass quite a bit. You know, he ends up being really
That's right.
trapped by that and ends up being a bad
And then,
situation that he is in for a time.
you know, the shot changes and we see Andy's reaction to this as we're hearing Tyrell saying, "Hadley busted," and that's it. He gets cut off. And it's as if, you know, if this was a cartoon, so Andy's ears would prick up with the way that he's like, he's listening in on this conversation that these other guys are having.
Yeah.
I like the way they do that. I think it's done really well.
Yeah, just to kind of, you know, every once in a while cutting back to Andy to let you know that we're still in his POV. We
That's
are
right.
still hearing everything, you know, that he is understanding and learning all this as we are.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so today's segment is called Midweek Morgan, where my guest will give their top five Morgan Freeman performances.
Yes, so this one was a lot easier than the one I will be doing tomorrow. I would say one of these actors is a little more iconic. And Morgan Freeman, there's a lot of good stuff to choose from, a lot of incredible voices, and he's played some really iconic characters. Number five, I gotta go with him as the wizard Vitruvius from the Lego Movie, kind of playing a Gandalf Dumbledore type, and he does talk about those characters in that movie. He's a lot of fun, is playing on all those tropes. I love the Lego Movie, so I had to shout this out here. Another one where he's playing absolutely one of the most iconic real life people ever. He plays Nelson Mandela in Invictus in a important but supporting role. You know, that's a great sports movie and just kind of about Nelson Mandela at the what I think what's it 94 Rugby Cup, and just kind of about the coming together of black and white South Africa, you know, healing these wounds. It's a really good movie, really great supporting performance by him. He's, you know, often thought of as this kind of great supporting actor. I think that's great. Maybe even more iconic performances for a movie that's, you know, it's fine, but I think he's really good in it, and that is he plays God as and Bruce Almighty. You know, he's that iconic I am God line that he has. So definitely, you know, had to mention that, you know, there's almost like the running joke of Morgan Freeman, like who could have this voice that would be iconic enough to play God, and not a short list. Morgan Freeman, I think, does a really good job with it. Number two, I would say, is Ned Logan, from Unforgiven. That's a really great movie. Another great supporting performance by him, just a great character in this film. He's great in this Western. And number one, I would say, is a trilogy of films where he plays Lucius Fox. That would be the Dark Knight films. Really great, a really kind of ally to Batman in that. The guy who designed, he's the tech guy, he's the guy in the chair, quote unquote, for Batman in those movies. Wears a funny little suit. Love Morgan Freeman in The Dark Knight.
All right, that is a great list. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
All right, now we will play the first of two daily games. So we will start with high low. So spin the wheel and we'll see what you get. All right, the 1979 film Norma Rae
Okay, all right.
with Sally Field.
I feel like this is a movie that like is almost just like more referenced in like pop culture, you know, than it is like remembered for being itself. And Sally Field's like, you know, performance and stuff around it. I'll say I don't think that this is a particularly fondly remembered movie. I think people like it, but it's not like I'll say 6.7 for IMDb. I think critics may be a little more kind to it. I'll say 81 to critics.
Okay, so critics give it 89 and
Okay.
IMDb is 7.3.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
All right.
Now I'm going too far in the other direction.
Yeah. All right, let's spin the wheel and see what you get. All right, you get a film from this year, from 2025, Marty Supreme.
Ooh, okay. This was the only Best Picture nominee I didn't see because it's 2.5 hours long and it's about ping pong. I'm sure it's good, but I just didn't have time for that. I'll say I think critics did quite like this movie. I'll say 94, and IMDb, I'll say 8.3.
All right, well, you are very close with Rotten Tomatoes. It is a 93 in Rotten Tomatoes, but IMDb is a 7.6.
Okay. All right. IMDb, man. I have no idea. I cannot get a read on those users.
Right, let's spin for your final one today. All right, the 2012 film Zero Dark Thirty.
Ooh, all right. Good movie that I think mostly has been kind of forgotten about. Catherine Bigelow. I think this was very, very liked at the time. I'll say for critics, I'll stay the mid-90s. I'll say 95. For audiences, I'll say 7.8.
So IMDb is 7.4. So you're in the right ballpark there, and
All right.
for Rotten Tomatoes it's 91. So yeah,
Okay. All
excellent,
right.
nicely done, nicely done. Now
All
let's
right.
spin the
Spin the
wheel
distance.
for Name That Book Adaptation. Okay, this 1987 film was originally titled The Hellbound Heart.
Hellbound Heart, and it's the film came out in 87. The Hellbound Heart, it's not Misery, is it?
No, Misery came out in 90.
90. Okay, I have no idea with this one. I might need a
Okay,
clue.
it was directed by Clive Barker.
Hellraiser.
Yeah,
All
very
right,
good.
all right. Yeah, I have not seen any of the Hellraiser movies. Not a huge horror guy. At least not that
Yeah,
style of
no,
horror.
me neither, and I definitely I wouldn't have even guessed it based on the Clive Barker aspect of
Yeah.
it.
And that game, the fact that it had hell in the title and it was Clive Barker, like that as soon as I got that, and 80, I do 80s rough time periods, that makes sense.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so Derek, would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, you can go to underratedmoviepodcast.com that has links to my show, the Underrated Movie Podcast, as well as my Patreon. And anything else that I'm doing, or you can just look up Underrated Movie Podcasts, however you're listening to this, on any of the socials. Head over to Temple of Geek com, where I write reviews on films as well. Would love you guys to check all and any of that out.
Right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. You can send me an email at movierob@movierob.net. You can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, and you can find me on Facebook. So, till tomorrow, get busy living.
Or get busy dying.